But I think number one in business, especially, I think you have to be genuine. You have to be authentic. You can't try to pull the wool over somebody's eyes. People can read between the lines. People are smarter than you think you are. And you can't consider yourself to always be the smartest person in the room, because sometimes you're not. Most of the time, I'm not. So I totally get that. So I like to try to, I like to tell people, be genuine, just be yourself. On my shows, for instance, we all make mistakes. My guests will make mistakes. We let it roll, because it's part of life. We make mistakes in life. That's how we learn. We can laugh about it a little bit. Sometimes we can make some adjustments. But the number one thing I can honestly tell people is to be genuine, be authentic.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. Want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
In this episode, I get to speak with Neil DiPentino, a seasoned business transformation coach with over 4 decades of experience in sales and marketing. Neil DiPentino, president of Titan Media Works Incorporated and the host of the Business Breakthroughs podcast on the Small Business Delivered Network. We dive deep into the journeys and experiences of remarkable individuals. Join us as Neil shares pivotal moments that shaped his path, insights into the role of coaching in business, and the importance of effective communication in leadership. Tune in to gain actionable tips and learn from Neil's wealth of experience in sales, marketing, and leadership. Neil, thanks so much for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's really a pleasure to be with you today.
I went over to LinkedIn and I saw that you had a little speaker icon next to your name. So let me see how he pronounces his name. And then you just were pronouncing your last name. I was like, okay, that makes sense. The first name is common.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how many people, it's really a difficult name. It's not that difficult, but to some it really is. Mm-hmm. What's really funny is when, especially like when a telemarketer calls, they'll add 2 or 3 different letters or vowels in it that aren't even in the name. So it's pretty funny.
Man, that's so fun. It would be just funny just to record those recordings of all of how all the different people have recorded, said your name.
Absolutely. Yeah, that would be fun.
Just have a reel playing on LinkedIn. Here's how not to say my name.
I would love that. Absolutely. I think I'm going to do that. Or maybe I'll let you do that. That's awesome. Great idea.
And so cool. You know, what I love to hear, and you've been doing what you're doing for a very long time. Most people that I'm talking to, they've either been doing it for maybe 5 years, 10 years. So what you do now, you're a business transformation coach. You help people figure out what coaching in business does. So I would just like to see if you can take us just far enough back, which will show us like the pivotal moments that shaped your path in being who you are today.
Wow. So yeah, I like to tell people I'm closer to the end than I am to the beginning. So I've been doing this for almost actually over 4 decades now, sales and marketing. And so I've worked with a number of different companies over my career, a lot of larger businesses, small businesses, mom and pops. So really, I've worked with a variety of different people. Currently, I work a couple different things. I do some marketing, advertising, buys, that type of thing for several clients. I thought after a while, I just wanted to slow down a little bit and stay closer at home. Early before that, I was traveling so much. When I'd come home, I didn't even know where the light switches were, and the dog would try to bite me when I walked in the door. I thought that was probably not a good thing. So staying closer at home was fun. I also am into podcasting. It's just like you. I have a show called Business Breakthroughs, where I interview business coaches that are really a heck of a lot smarter than I am. But my journey began, I had no plan of ever being in sales or marketing. It was never on the radar for me. I wanted to be an architect as a kid, and I took all the classes and that kind of fell through for me. I started doing DJing at nightclubs and thought this could potentially be a great opportunity. So I went back to school for communications. I graduated and I was ready to look for a job, and found out that was a little bit harder than they had led me on when I first took the classes. But I found out about a job that was available in Gallup, New Mexico. And I was living in Denver at the time. So it was about a 5-6 hour drive. And so I decided I couldn't get the guy to answer the phone. Back then we didn't have text or LinkedIn or all that. So it was all done by phone. Wouldn't answer the phone for me. So I said, I'm going to get this guy. So I jumped in my car. At the time I had a 78 Fiat Spider. And I drove that Fiat Spider all the way to Gallup, New Mexico from Denver in a snowstorm. And I showed up at the office the next day and I wasn't going to leave without the job. And the last thing he said to me, he says, look, we're in small market radio here. I know you want to do a show. That's why you got in this business, but we do everything here. And he said, so if you want to have a show, he said, you're going to have to do something else. Do you know how to sell? And I'm like, yeah, I can sell. I never sold anything in my life. So I ended up landing the job. I drove back in the snowstorm all the way back to Denver, started packing all my stuff up, stopped at a bookstore and bought my first book on how to sell. And I read that along the stops moving back to Gallup, New Mexico. Within a very short period of time, probably about 6-8 months, I was actually I led that department. I was the sales manager for a radio station down in New Mexico. And then I actually started doing a lot of sales with national accounts like Coca-Cola and some of the bigger names of the time. And so that kind of launched my career, but I was still in the back of my mind, I didn't want to do it. And so I was able to, after a couple of years, I tried to get a job in Colorado Springs, a similar type scenario. I thought, well, if I'm there, I have a better chance. At the time, home video was becoming very popular, the rentals. Yeah. And I was able to land a job as a store manager at a newly started store in Colorado Springs. So they sent me out there and it wasn't very long thereafter where I decided that maybe I don't really want to be in radio anymore. This video thing's cool. Yeah. So I landed a job with a distributor, and that just led to, from one thing to the next thing. I sold home video for, golly, almost 14, 15 years. I left that business to go into the software business and eventually went into educational software and then started my own business 14 years ago.
That's really concise, really powerful. And I could see the journey and I could see what inspired you to go from one to the other, because it's funny, like we live in an era right now that literally everything can be done on your smartphone. And we grew up in an era where none of these things could be done on one thing, right? I remember the dial-up, I remember the phone calls, the pager, like all of those things. And we grew up, so we see that technology trend growing so fast, and I don't even know where we're going to be in the next 5 years. It's moving that fast. So it's cool to see that you wanted to do your own show in communication, but you say, hey, I can get my shoe in the door because you have the tenacity to drive down 5 hours in a snowstorm to say, hey, I need this job, because you're closer. You're in the space of where you would actually create a show. And that's something that people don't realize, is you want to be as close as possible in the kitchen. If you want food, you got to be in the kitchen to get food. You're not going to get food anywhere else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And who knew it was going to turn into a career that would help me to feed my family and to succeed. Now I've been in it for 4 decades, and I thought I was on my way out. I really did. It was like the Godfather movie. Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. And so I was very close to retiring. I thought, I'm pretty much done. And but then I started thinking about, okay, now what are you going to do? I really don't have a whole lot of hobbies. I don't golf. I don't fish often. And so, and my wife is younger than me, so it's a few years before she can retire. And this opportunity with Titan Media Works came about. It was funny because I feel like I've come full circle. Even though I still am involved in the sales process, I get to do my own show. And it was 40 years, literally 40 years ago, that I actually sat in front of a microphone before I started this show. I feel like I've come full circle. And it's been interesting too, because in all these years that I've been doing what I've been doing, you think, what I know. Well, nobody knows more than me, right? I think a lot of people think that way. I think a lot of people, maybe who don't have the years in their career that I have, think that way. But you know, what I do is I interview business coaches and people who, and most of them, a lot of them are people who have had a career in corporate America, had their own businesses, sold the business. For whatever reason, they got out, maybe they were getting ready to retire, but then they decided this really isn't for me. So they started a coaching career. Interesting. And so I actually get to interview them, and I get to learn what I don't know. I've met some of the most interesting people on the planet, not only from a business standpoint, but on a one-on-one standpoint. It has been a true blessing. I just love it. Absolutely love it.
Man, that's really inspiring to hear, because as you've seen these people, they've left their corporate jobs and they're stepping into coaching. Talk to me about the role of coaching in business. Like, how does a good coach make a significant difference in a business scenario? Talk to me about those.
Oh man, there's so many different ways. I interview business coaches, leadership coaches, life coaches. I actually went on ChatGPT to find out how many coaches there were, and it just kept printing out and printing out. There's just tons and tons of them. But most of the people I deal with are dealing either with someone in corporate America, somebody like a leadership coach, somebody who maybe has gone from one position and has been promoted into another position. Mm. And there's a transition that takes place there when they do that. It might be a situation where somebody sold their business, or maybe they just got out of the military and they're looking to start a business of their own, and they just need somebody who can give them some kind of direction. The thing is we don't know what we don't know. And even I believe, and I don't know that I believe this time last year when we started the podcasting, but I do believe that firmly now that everybody in business should have some kind of a coach or mentor to help them, along the way, because we don't know everything. And not only that, not only can they help us with good sound advice, but sometimes it's just, man, just having somebody that you can lean on in tough times and celebrate with in good times. So I really truly believe that if you're in business of any kind, whether you're at the lower level, you're just starting, or you've been in business for a really long time, you should have some kind of a coach or find somebody who could be a mentor to you to help you along the way.
That's really powerful. It's almost like you're following the lights of a car on the freeway and you don't know where you're going unless if it's foggy out and you're like, okay, I don't want to hit anybody. And as soon as you see those red lights in front of you, oh my God, okay, I know how far this car is and I can keep that distance, keep that pace. And I think that's what a coach brings. They're almost like a lighthouse to guide you the way along the way. I'm like, hey, come this way. This is the safe path of safety.
Absolutely. 100%. We all have different experiences. I've read a little bit about you and you're a very interesting guy as well. And, and your hobbies have led you into what you're doing right now. And we were just talking a little bit about your studio and how nice it looks. It looks a heck of a lot better than mine. So obviously, and we help coach people along a little bit differently. We don't go to the extent that you do, but we help them with their sound and their audio and that type of thing when they get on a podcast with us. But just things like that, being able to take your business and coach somebody who wants to be on a podcast to make it look professional, to make it look right, to help them stand out. That's super important, I think, if somebody wants to get in that kind of a business. If you're in retail, I work with a lot of restaurants actually too. And in this day and age, especially since the pandemic, the restaurant business, it's always been hard, but it's super hard now. It's hard to keep employees. It's hard to keep employees motivated. So a good coach, a good leadership coach can come in and help lead the way so that you can actually maybe get more out of your employees and not necessarily more work, but just more, you find out more about them, their personalities and type of, and you never know what their background is. Maybe they have something that they, you never asked about that they could bring to the business that's going to help you or into your life as well. So
I think that's really powerful because when you have the person involved in the process of your business, they feel more responsible or they feel more like in the leadership position, right? They're like, oh my God, you're trusting me to make these decisions. They're more invested in the company as well then.
No, absolutely. I think we all want to feel needed. I don't care what your position is. You could be a CEO of a company. You could be the janitor. It doesn't make any difference. You want to have something. You have something to offer. You want to be able to offer that up and you want that respect. And I think we need to give our employees and people who work under us and people who work over us too. We need to give that kind of respect. But we need to listen. And I think it starts with, and this is one thing that seems to be a common thread in with everybody that I've talked to, it all begins and ends with communication. You got to have that conversation. You got to have that connection. So,
no, that's really powerful. You've been talking about how the restaurant business has gotten harder because of the pandemic or after the pandemic, because employees have other options. Okay, I can do this other thing that doesn't require as much time. There's a lot of more opportunities that people can pick up. Now we're in this gig economy and creator economy. I saw this factory in Malaysia where they have about 100 rooms, and in each room there's a person with a cell phone mounted on a tripod and they're selling something. It's insane because it's the era of social selling. You can see on TikTok, on Amazon, on like literally every platform, people are selling something. And I think TikTok just crossed the highest concentrated place where people go and buy stuff over Amazon. which is mind blowing because in the past, people were using YouTube to share their associate links on selling stuff on Amazon or talking about it. And Amazon, like, wait, we're going to do live streaming. And now TikTok's jumped into that. And now they're like, hey, we've trained everybody to be creating videos and dancing and getting comfortable in front of the camera. Now let's use an entire force to sell stuff on our shop. Mm-hmm. Like it's a pretty crazy thing. Keeping people in the place, it's crazy. And you've mentioned that. What's some of the most pressing challenges that small businesses are facing today outside of the restaurant business that you've seen, and how can they navigate?
That's an interesting question. It really is unique to every business that we work with. Obviously, the employee situation is difficult. And I think you hit the nail on the head with the more people wanting to be virtual. Mm-hmm. That's a hard problem. In our business, we do have some people who are part-time virtual, but we require them to come into the office. We don't really like that so much, but mm-hmm. we understand that the workforce is looking for that. So we allow a little bit of that. And the reason we don't like it is because we feel like we get a lot more energy from people yes. when we're face to face. We can have that conversation with them. We can learn more about them. When you're not necessarily a Zoom call, but when you're doing the sales the way that you mentioned, you lose that personality. You don't make that connection like you would one-on-one. So I think that tends to be a big problem. I got to tell you, I think it's probably the number one biggest problem that all businesses have is it's just trying to find and keep the right people. And the way that, and because of the pandemic, I believe that that's totally changed the way that people think. More and more mm-hmm. people think that they want to work from home. They don't want to be in the office. In fact, they'll leave you if you make them mm-hmm. come into the office. I was just talking with somebody the other day and they were telling me about how they hated their job. And I'm like, what do you hate your job? I mean, it sounds like a great job. And they make me come in once a week. Like, really? Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I remember when I first started, we had a Monday morning meetings, and I get it. Monday morning meetings, it lasted all day. I hated mm-hmm. meetings. I still hate meetings. We sat there, and at the time we had vendors coming in. We're in the video business. So there are different studios that are selling their goods to us, and not really selling, but pitching it. So we can go on. We're a distributor. We went on and pitched them to our clients and our customers. But we had to sit and listen to all this stuff. And sometimes they would come in with like these great movies that were like a slam dunk, easy to sell. And then they came in and they really had to twist your arm to get you to do anything at all. And so after you sit in there for all day long, you start checking out. If you're on a long Zoom call today, I could see, I've watched on Zoom where people are actually, if you look at the people, sometimes they're like, some are very attentive, some of them are checking out, some are looking at their phones. And so I think that part has become a huge problem, I think, for all businesses. So how do we navigate through that? I don't know. That's really the challenge right now, because again, every business is different. Every business has different goals and needs, but you have to be aware that's what the workforce community wants in this day and age. And you have to be able to accept it or figure out ways to work around it.
That's so true. And I think with the advent of technology and the new workforce that's entering in the workplace, the new people from high school and colleges graduating, they have, like, they're going through a system which was designed 50 years ago. I don't know if colleges themselves are doing any changes to train the future employees to say, hey, this is what business is. But again, as small businesses continue to evolve, I think it's all going to be going for the better because we have a lot of technologies that can enable that one-on-one connection, that one-on-one tracking of progress and doing a better job, so to say.
Yeah, I love technology. I do. But here's how I like technology. I wanted to do what it does. I tell this story. We have Ryan, who's our production manager. Yeah. He's like a 50-year-old techie guy, and he's always into the new technology, all these new things. And I'll ask him a question. And an hour later, after he finishes all this technical type stuff, I'll say, okay, that's great. So now, can you tell me the question I asked is, where's the record button? That's all I asked. But it's so technical for people like my age and maybe even Gen X people. Mm-hmm. A lot of us didn't grow up with this stuff. Right. So it's a big learning curve for us. Whereas the millennials, Gen Zs, they grew up with it. It's like second nature for them, but they're the up and coming workforce. So we have to consider that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move into another topic that I absolutely love, which is turning passion into profit. As you've been in this work place or doing what you've been doing, but then finally finding the thing that you love, that you like entered the whole workspace to do. What advice do you have someone to give who is passionate about an idea or a hobby and wants to turn that into a profitable business?
I think you have to be passionate about what you do in order to start a business. Is that the question? If they're starting their own business?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you have to have some passion in order to start it. Because what a lot of people don't realize, though, is that one thing that you're totally passionate about is only a small component of the business process.
Amen.
Yeah. I'll go back to the restaurant guys. Mom had this great recipe for spaghetti. And I make it to my family. I make it for my friends. I love making it every Sunday morning. I think I'll start a restaurant. Everybody's going to love it. So they go out there and they start their restaurant. Then they realize that their cost of goods are a little bit high and they're not making a profit on it because they can't make it the way that mama used to make it. You got to change the recipe a little bit. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then wait, hold on. We got to pay the lease. We've got to pay our taxes. We've got to do some marketing, some advertising. We got to deal with people. We got to deal with disgruntled customers. Mm-hmm. We have to set up a dining. We have all these other things that are all involved. And a lot of times people who are starting businesses, I just use the restaurant as an example. It could be any business. Yeah. They think about the thing that they're passionate about, but forget that there's a whole lot of other things that they need to know. Yeah. You talked about why a person needs a coach. Sometimes the answer is just as close as your local chamber of commerce. A lot of them have people that can help you to navigate you through the things that you're going to need to have a successful business. So that's just the starting point. Mm-hmm. Now, when you start that business, you have to take into consideration factors like environment, what's going on in the world. The pandemic changed business for like ever. Yeah. None of us were prepared for it. None of us. And so now all of a sudden you got to pivot. You got to figure out, okay, how can I keep this going? Or maybe this isn't something that I need to keep going. I mentioned a restaurant, one of my restaurant clients, when the pandemic came about, they suffered a lot of the same problems that other people did with the supply chain. They couldn't get the food products. They couldn't get the containers and stuff like that. Mm. But they went out and they figured out how to source it. They really became guerrilla marketers in terms of trying to find the stuff they needed. Yeah. They had to shut down their dining room and everything was done curbside or delivery or whatever the case would be. And what they found is over time, they were more profitable doing that than they were having a dining room. So when they opened up the opportunity for the dining rooms to be open again, the government did, it was like, okay, do we really want to do that? Because now if we open them, we could potentially be losing money where we're making money now. Yeah. So all of these things are just factors that you've got to consider. Mm-hmm. And people say you can overplan. And I think there's some truth to that, but I always like to plan for what the goal should be, what the possibilities could be, but I also want to try to plan as much as I can for what kind of things that are going to potentially come across that are going to disrail or derail my business. So I think people who are passionate about the business, that's great. Fantastic. Don't lose that passion, but think about all the other stuff too.
And that's really a powerful story because it's an ever-changing world. And just like change is the most constant thing you're going to encounter, the same goes with business. So that's a really great advice to keep an eye on, hey, what's changing? How can you continue to leverage the support that you have available through Chamber of Commerce, through other coaches? And there's new markets that are also popping up because of these changes, like the Uber Eats and Grubhub and DoorDash, like all of these businesses flourish because everybody depended on this. They were the essential workers that get to stay outside and do the work and feed the many people that were staying home trying to keep everybody safe.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing the things that we have today that we didn't have a while back. Yeah. I was talking to everybody in our office is younger than me, everyone. Mm-hmm. And we had a little gathering yesterday, and it was funny because everybody sitting at the table except for myself was born in 2000 or later. And we just started talking about things and they were saying like, I don't know what we did before we could email something to somebody. And I'm like, let me tell you something. Okay.
Let me tell you.
I'm like pre-fax machine. We had to figure those kind of things out back then. Yeah. But we did. But the new technologies, the things that we have today, they should be making our lives easier. And hopefully we use them in such a way that it does.
Amen, man. Amen. And it's really funny thinking on hindsight that one of the original deliver food to your home service, the pizza guys, right? They've been delivering pizza since God knows when.
Yeah, absolutely. They paved the way for everyone. Mm-hmm. One of my first clients was a chain of pizzas restaurants, and their business was about 80% delivery. So our challenge was, and they had a small dining area and everything. So our challenge was, we wanted to make sure that we kept up that delivery and improved on that delivery process. We identified things like they didn't have enough phone lines. People were sitting on hold for way too long. And that was pre-online ordering and all that kind of stuff. So we figured that was one of the things we did. And we also figured out that we have all this space in this dining room and it's not being utilized. So what kind of promotions, what kind of things can we offer to people so that we can bring them into our dining room, get them to eat here and stay here more often? Because we thought if they're eating here, if you place an order online, you get what you get, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're sitting in a dining room, there's a chance you might go up and you might order another soda. You might order maybe a dessert or whatever the case might be. So we knew we could increase our ticket a little bit if we can get people to come in. But you're right. The pizza guys, they paved the way for everybody else.
Absolutely. Man, it's been really fun talking with you and learning about the different experiences you've had at the different companies and businesses that you worked with and helped them along the way to be a more successful business. Now, currently I'm teaching entrepreneurship to high school students, which is a lot of fun. And yesterday's class was all around understanding basic financial concepts. There's just four things, right? Revenue, cost, profit, and loss. Like literally, those are the four things, or three things if you do the math, that you should be focused on.
Absolutely, 100%. I'm fortunate because I have a really smart partner that understands all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing too about getting into business. You got to consider if you understand that concept, the concept you just laid out, and you understand how to work that whole thing. That's one thing. And you're obviously going to need some help from a CPA and accountant or something like that. But the other thing is getting engaged with people who are really good at what they do. My background is sales and marketing. I'm not trying to brag or anything, but I think I'm pretty good at it. My partner in my business is like a financial business. I think he's a genius. Don't cut that part out because he'll never be able to get his head through the door again if he hears that. But even though we discuss everything, every aspect of our business, I leave that part to him because he knows what he's doing. I trust that he's doing the job for us, but it's super, super important. It's probably more important than anything else that we do in our business.
Yeah, literally, if you're not making money, if you don't make sales, then you don't really have a business.
That's right. That's right. And I see people left and right that are like bringing in all kinds of cash and are just loving life because look at all the money I'm making. And the question to them is, that's wonderful. How much are you keeping?
Yeah. How much are you keeping? Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. Let's take a quick break. This has been really insightful, really inspiring, and full of wisdom, full of nuggets that we can share and we can utilize in our businesses. Let's take a quick break. And when we get back from the break, you'll have three hacks to share for business owners or entrepreneurs listening to the podcast in which they can implement in their lives and in their businesses for sales and marketing aspect, because that's the game that you're bringing on.
All right. Sounds great. Cool.
Are you ready to amplify your business? SBI Pro is your gateway to elevate your entrepreneurial journey, offering cutting-edge education, immersive training, and interactive collaborations. Whether you're just starting out or you're a seasoned pro, SBI Pro is the community for you, providing you access to professional networking and advice to accelerate your growth. To join, head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/SBI Pro. Join SBI Pro and transform your unique journey into a success story. Again, head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/SBI Pro. Hey guys, welcome back. We've been talking with Neil DiPentino. If you've been listening so far, it's been a really fun conversation and doesn't even feel like time has passed because even though it's been a few minutes, the conversation here is very lively because as business owners ourselves, as entrepreneurs, as somebody who's putting time together so that we can support our families, support our kids, and support like all the things that we love to do, it's really important to have these breaks. So we like to introduce this little break in our episode. So thank you so much for sticking around. Neil's got three hacks that we can implement in our businesses. Neil, take it away.
All right. Thanks for that. I appreciate that. So I think some of the things that I want to talk about, some of the three hacks that I have, I think are probably kind of been regurgitated to some extent. I don't think there's a whole lot that's new under the sun. It's just maybe the different ways that we present it that maybe makes it sound like it's different. But I think number one in business, especially, I think you have to be genuine. You have to be authentic. You can't try to pull the wool over somebody's eyes. People can read between the lines. People are smarter than you think you are. And you can't consider yourself always to be the smartest person in the room because sometimes you're not. Most of the time, I'm not. So I totally get that. So I like to try to, I like to tell people, be genuine, just be yourself. On my shows, for instance, we all make mistakes. My guests will make mistakes. We let it roll because it's part of life. We make mistakes in life. That's how we learn. We can laugh about it a little bit. Sometimes we can make some adjustments. But the number one thing I can honestly tell people is to be genuine, be authentic. Number two is create a connection. You and I were talking in the green room a little bit ago about how our little conversation, our little sidebar there was helping us to make an even better connection than we already have. You can't accomplish anything with anyone unless that connection is there. So I've had people come into my office trying to sell me stuff and they jump right into a pitch. And it's okay, maybe you want to tell me your name first, what company you're with, what are you doing? I like to know what people are all about. Trying to make that connection is really important. When early on, when I would do sales calls, walking into somebody's office, I would scour the room a little bit and see what kind of decor they had. Maybe that kind of tell me a little bit about the type of person they were. Maybe there's pictures of their family, their kids. Maybe they want to ski trip or something like that. I ski. There's a connector right there. There's things that, you know, if you can make that connection, you can accomplish a lot more. You can accomplish anything. You're not going to accomplish anything without it. Yeah. And then the last thing I would say is make sure that you are good at communicating. We've talked a little bit about my age and the people that we're working with now, the younger generations and everything. Believe me, when I was 21, 22 years old, I didn't communicate with people who are my age very well either. And I think back on that. And I think that when I first started in radio, I walked in thinking that, hey, who I am, right? I'm going to do a morning show. I'm like hot stuff, right? But there were so many people there that had such great careers that, you know, could offer up so much information to me, but I didn't make the connection with them and I didn't communicate with them or let them communicate back to me. You know, being able to communicate with people and understanding, you know, how to communicate with them. You don't have that same kind of communication between a Gen Z and a baby boomer or even a Gen X that you would between two Gen Zs, two Gen X's, two baby boomers. We all are a little bit different, man, woman. I mean, we all, all these different things, we're all different ways. So we have to understand who our audience is, who the person we're trying to communicate with is, and understand how they receive information and try to communicate with them in that manner.
Man, I love those hacks. Be authentic, make that connection, and be good at communicating. One thing that really stood out as you're talking about the different generations, and we've seen this happen, and you'll probably pick that up really quickly. A lot of people growing up, maybe 20 years ago, were into the Pokemon cards. Now my kid, who's 13, he's into Pokemon cards. Now, if I had gotten into, we have that built-in connection. Now, luckily, I love building Lego bricks. So have that connection with my kids through building Lego bricks, because we can talk this common language. And I think that's how you're building that better connection and be good at communicating. When you have that common language and common verbiage and common terminology, then you get to understand. What's funniest thing ever was 3 years ago, my son saw his cousin building a computer, or he has a computer and he's talking about all these things. And then he comes and tells me about this. I'm like, oh, that's really cool, son. And him not realizing that I've been building computers from a very young age for work. So I know like everything that goes inside a computer. And when I shared that, I'm like, oh, wow, really? You did that? And then it was really fun to see that he's coming at it that age and understanding the different how technology work and how cars are. And then like, he'll be pointing at cars like right now when they're on the road. So having that common language and common verbiage I think it's really important. And I think that's what you're talking about here in making that connection and be good at communicating.
Absolutely. I have 5 kids, 6 grandkids. I probably communicate better with my grandkids than I do with my kids. It was a different dynamic back when I was a young parent than it is now. But I can honestly see, I agree with everything that you're saying. It was funny because my oldest grandson's really into Fortnite. Mm-hmm. And so he's playing Fortnite and everything. And he didn't know this, but I was actually at a lake with some other friends and a while before, a couple of weeks before I saw my grandson. Mm-hmm. And one of the kids that was there was telling me about this guy named Ninja who does these videos on how to play Fortnite. And I guess the guy makes millions of dollars with these videos and stuff like that. So I'm sitting with my grandson. I said, "So what are you playing?" And he said, "I'm playing Fortnite." I said, "Oh yeah, man, that's a great game." He goes, "You play the game?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely. I play the game. I follow Ninja. You?" He goes, "Ninja?" And I'm like, I had no idea who the guy was, but we were connected. We made that connection and we were able to laugh. And then he showed me how to play Fortnite. So we played Fortnite together a little bit.
That's fun. So much fun, man. Yeah. I love it. I love it. Dude, this has been so much fun. I love all the conversation we had, the connections we made, the wisdom that you shared with us on the podcast. You have a really amazing podcast, Business Breakthrough Podcast, and I would invite others listening to the podcast to check out that one and check out the conversation that you have with the amazing guests that you're bringing on, because we're constantly in the learning space. And I think you would agree to this more than other people that I've mentioned this, but the older we get, the less we know.
It seems that way anyway. It's either that or we never shut up about what we do know.
Probably. All right, let's jump into the last segment of the show, rapid fire questions. Number one, what is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
Man, I gotta tell you, I was thinking about that. It'd have to be either hang gliding or something that has to do with heights. And the reason for that is I am terrified of heights. Mm. And I was watching a Big Bang Theory with Sheldon. He said, "I'm not afraid of heights. I'm afraid of falling." And that's kind of me. I actually had an experience in a small aircraft one time and I was fine up until this experience. It was a bad experience. And from that point on, I was even afraid to fly for years. Wow. And but then I overcame that fear. But I still, even watching a movie, like when you're looking down into a canyon or from a tall building, it gives me the heebie-jeebies. I just like, I would love to have been able to do, or maybe I still will at some point in time. George Bush Sr. actually, I think he went out of an airplane. He did skydiving like at 90 or something. So if he can do it, I can do it, right? Yeah.
That's amazing. And the fear of heights is very real, because the same thing happens with my wife. Her hands will start to sweat. Like as soon as we see something like that, I'm like, "Oh my God, what's going on?" Next up, what did you want to be when you were a child?
It's really weird. Like kids want to be firemen, policemen. I want to be an architect. I wanted to build things. And I actually took all the classes. I was in drafting. I was in architectural drawing. I actually won some awards in high school for some of my drawings and everything. And then it became time to go to college and everything. I actually was offered an apprenticeship with an architect locally, but I was a pretty cocky kid back then. I thought I knew everything in the world. And I thought, why would I want to do drawings for him when he's going to go and make money on it and I'm not going to make anything? Not realizing that the process for being an architect, at least at the time, 4 years of college, I believe it was another 2 years of architectural school. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was 6 or 8 years of apprenticeship.
I'm
like, I can't wait that long. I'm just a very impatient person. So I pushed that aside. But through the years, I've actually built things and designed things for myself, not for others. But I think I still play around with it a little bit. But I wish, to some extent, I wish I'd have continued in that direction. But here we are, right?
No, absolutely. I think it's in our nature to build stuff and build something that you can be proud of. And that's one of the reasons why IKEA has a huge followership, because as you're going through this process of building something, you now, even though it's a product that's cheaper than all the other things that you can buy at the same price, it's the connection that you build in that journey that you had to go through building this thing. It's really powerful. All right. Next up, what is your favorite movie or TV show?
It's with movies. It's really hard because I've watched so many movies being in that business over the years. At the time, Field of Dreams comes to mind. It was one of my favorite dreams. And I still, if I watch it today, I'll tear up at the end when he plays catch with his, I hope I didn't like If you haven't seen it, don't listen, put your play. But at the end, I still tear up. But recently, I've been going back probably in the last year and watching the old episodes of Friends. Mm. And I can't tell you why, other than they make me laugh. And after dealing with everything else that I've dealt with in business during the day and trying the traffic going home and the news, everything that's going on in the world and everything, I just need a laugh. Great. And they provide a lot of laughs for me. So I love that show.
No, that definitely is a fun show. I was more of a fan of the Seinfeld space show about nothing because I remember not watching the whole thing in the beginning, but then I binge watch it again. And I come to that last episode, I'm like, yep, they deserve every single thing that they did to be sitting in that jail. They were very mean people. I did not realize that. It's really crazy.
Crazy stuff. That was a good show, though.
Yeah, it was. All right, next up, what movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
Hey, that wasn't in the list of questions you sent me.
That's a surprise. That's a surprise one.
Ask the question again. I'm sorry.
What movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
Wow. That is an interesting question. I would have to say I would want to be Thor.
Mm.
And I want to be the Chris Hemsworth Thor. Okay. Yes. And I would want to be Chris Hemsworth because then I would be, I mean, look at that long flowing hair. I don't have much left up here and everything. So for that very reason, I want to play Thor and I love the character. I think I could pull it off maybe 30, 40 years ago today, maybe not so much, but maybe with a little work, right?
Hey man, it's movie magic.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of movie magic.
All right, man, I love it. I love that. That's a really good movie. And the movie arc for Thor is absolutely an amazing one too. He's gone through so much and being 1500 years old to be looking that good. Amen.
Looking good. So. Yeah, absolutely. I want what he's taking.
Yes. All right. Next up, who is your favorite superhero?
Wow. So I looked at that question and I could go back and say Thor because I love the Marvel comics and everything. But I would have to say I have several superheroes in my life. My wife, my children, my grandchildren, I have a great son-in-law, two great daughter-in-laws. Mm-hmm. I have several nieces and nephews. And to me, they're all superheroes to me. My three favorite words are dad, papa, and Uncle Neil. Those are my three favorite words, or four favorite words, I should say. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, if I had to pick one of them, it'd have to be my wife. My wife is a teacher. She's an educator. She's worked with special needs children for over 18 years. She's now an interventionist. She works with second and third graders to help them read better, do math better, that type of thing. And I think that anyone who is a teacher is an incredible person. You have to be an incredible person. You're not getting paid anything. You do it for the love. You talked about passion earlier. That is a very passionate job. Mm-hmm. And the only reward they really get is through the things they do with the children they work with. So I think anybody is a teacher, I think, is a superhero, my wife especially. So
absolutely, man. That's so well and such full of wisdom. Thank you so much for sharing, man. I really appreciate that. Last question. This was another surprise one.
Oh, no.
If you were a board game, what would it be?
Oh, my gosh. Where do you come up with these questions? If I were a board game? Wow. I would have to say, okay, I know this one, okay? It'd have to be Scrabble.
Scrabble.
Okay. Scrabble. Two reasons. We have this board on our wall, and I found it in some a secondhand store, and it's all magnetic. And so my wife and I have been playing the same Scrabble game now for about 6 months. We're about to finish it. So every time we walk down the hall and we see that one of us has made a move, then the next one will make their move. But I pick Scrabble for this reason. Sometimes I feel like everything that I'm doing is a big old Scrabbled mess, but through a lot of hard work, perseverance, stick-to-itiveness, a lot of help from other people, we can take that scrabbled up, gobbled up mess and put it into something that's useful and wonderful.
Dude, I love that so much. I'm going to have to go find this oversized wall Scrabble game because I love it so much. In fact, I've been wanting to put a big whiteboard in our hallway so that we can list out, hey, these are the tasks that my different kids have to do. We do check mark and stuff like that. But I think this would be another level. Although I have a one-year-old, so he might pull off those tiles. So it'd have to be high enough, but I think that's a really awesome game. And I love the answer. Thanks.
Fantastic. Good. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I highly recommend you get it. It's a lot of fun. It's a really great, again, all about connections. Great way to connect.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. All right, man. Where can superpreneurs listening to this episode find you?
A couple different places. You can find me at Neal, N-E-A-L, at Titan Media Works. That's work spelled W-O-R-X.com. Neal at TitanMediaWorks.com. And I'm very active on LinkedIn. Just reach out to me, message me on LinkedIn. I'd love to talk with you.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much again for your time, for your energy, for the wisdom and the insight that you've shared with listeners here on the podcast, and especially me, because I've learned so much that I definitely needed this. So thank you so much again, and I'll catch you in the next episode.
Thank you.
Congratulations, you made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at Junaid@hacksandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You could find links mentioned in this episode on the hacksandhobbies.com website.